Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
The NFL draft is now officially open.
This is draft season. John Schmoke, Tony Pauline with you. 3 weeks, believe it or not, until we get to the 2024 NFL draft. Draft season is brought to you by Moody's. Decode risk, unlock opportunity. Visit Moody's.com to learn more. I am John Schmoke. My partner in crime is Tony Pauline. You can see all his work at sportskeeda.com. Tony, take us through your past week, what it's been like, the type of information you're gathering, and where you are at in terms of your process.
Well, thankfully, I'm finishing up just a few more scouting reports, and then it's going to be, you know, maybe go back and watch some film if I have a differing opinion from other people to see if I'm missing something. And I usually find, you know, for all the people who are watching who are their own scouts, your first instinct is usually your best. Don't be swayed by what you read out there. But it's not a bad thing to double check. And then what will happen is tomorrow, Wednesday, the 3rd, is the final pro day. It's the Yale pro day. And their offensive lineman is supposed to be going to do some position drills. It'll be interesting to see what happens then. And then it's just work the phones. I mean, the NFL teams will have their NFL draft meetings. All the medical information will start to come out. And, I mean, there shouldn't be huge sways in draft boards unless somebody really has a bad medical or there's some red flag. We see all it with Aziz Ojulari, remember all those years ago? Or there's some major character issues, which comes out. Stuff is starting to leak out about certain players. But I don't, you know, unless there's something major like that, there won't be any huge changes. It's just a matter of, and as we'll talk about when we do our first round mock, is where does the fourth quarterback go? Is the fourth quarterback going to go top 5, top 10? You know, is he going to get to 11? That'll be one of the more interesting stories, which we won't know until draft night.
Yeah, so we are doing our first mock draft today. We're going to go through some pro day stuff first. Then we're going to have our first mock draft since the combine, believe it or not. And then we'll have one more the week of the draft. Tony will give his final predictions. This is a predictive mock draft, what we think teams are going to do. We will allow trades. We'll see if any happen, but we will allow trades here as we have our next to last mock draft of the draft cycle. Then the next 2 weeks, we'll give you our final top 10. Tony will give you his top 10 ranks at each position. I don't think I'll be 10 deep at each position by then, but I will certainly critique, comment, and tell Tony why he's wrong. And then he'll say, Schmelk, shut up. I do more work than you. And I'll say, okay, that's a fair point. And those will be our next two shows, along with questions from fans as well. And then we get to draft week, and we're rocking and rolling. So, Tony, here we go. Let's do pro days. Let's start with LSU. Yeah. I love you list there. You have the guys you want to talk about for the pro days. LSU, you just say everyone.
Yeah.
Your thoughts. What have you heard about the LSU pro day?
I mean, it was basically an outstanding pro day, except for two guys really didn't stand out. And Jaden Daniels was one of those guys that really didn't stand out. He didn't have a bad pro day. It was more a Caleb Williams pro day. He missed on a few passes, but he showed great arm talent. The biggest criticism that I heard about Jaden Daniels during his pro day, and I wrote about it, was the fact that it seemed like he didn't know the script and he had to kept going back to see what was next, which people found unusual. I don't think it's a needle mover. I still think he's going to go to the Commanders with the arm strength he showed. Threw a lot of nice deep passes. Obviously, you know, with Jaden Daniels, you may have hoped for a better pro day. Just watch the film. He's a gamer. Charles Turner also struggled. Charles Turner ran 140, hurt his hamstring. The 40 was timed in like 5.53. Didn't really do anything the rest of the day. So I think in a draft that is not deep at center, Charles Turner had an opportunity to help himself. The hamstring issue is going to hold him back. After that, I mean, you know, we talked about Malik Nabers, and I mentioned the story how I spoke with one team personnel person, and he said that the best vertical threats were Xavier Worthy and Texas Troy Franklin of Oregon. I said I would put Malik Nabers in that conversation, and he wasn't too sure about Malik Nabers. He said he wanted to see how he ran. If Malik Nabers didn't run at Pro Day, they're going to put him down as a 4.5, 4.55 guy. Well, Malik Nabers ran. He ran fast. I mean, he was 4.35. His vertical jump was 42 inches. Just had an insane athletic workout. Caught the ball very well. He was outstanding. There are two defensive linemen, Jordan Jefferson, the nose tackle, Mekki Wingo, the one-gap, three-technique lineman. Both had terrific workouts, moved incredibly well. Teams are very impressed with them. Jordan Jefferson, I think, helped himself because of 316 pounds. He's basically slated to be a nose tackle, but he moved incredibly well. So you'd think that he could be a playmaker. Omar Speets, the linebacker who really doesn't get a lot of mention, transfer from Oregon State. If you watch him at Oregon State, he was just a playmaker. Did some good things at LSU last year. There was some question about his speed. People were wondering if he was a high 4.7 guy. Ran 4.62, tested well. And for a guy like Omar Speets, those testing numbers mean a lot because, like I said, the expectations for Speets are he's a 4.7 guy. He runs in the low 4.6s. You know, people know now that they can use him more as more than just a two down in the box type of linebacker.
No, I'm with you. Good information there, Tony. Then the day after, you had competing pro days, which I'm sure made NFL talent evaluators thrilled that they couldn't go to both. North Carolina with Drake May, and then, of course, you had Washington with their large array of prospects. Let's start with UNC.
I mean, Drake May, I was told, threw the ball very well. And I was told that his teammates said that it was the best they had ever seen Drake May. I know through this process that personnel people, scouts, and GMs have been grilling Drake May's teammates about the quarterback, trying to get in to see what they, you know, what they thought about the downfalls, the pitfalls of his game were. And the teammates were honest, but I'm told he stood out on pro day. I mean, he was throwing terrific passes down the field. He was accurate. I was told the timing looked very well. The timing was on time with his passes. Walker, the receiver, also caught the Devontae Walker, also caught the ball well. Very smooth, very fluid running routes. I think Walker understands that he's got to make up for that Senior Bowl performance that we were at where he was getting separation, but he was also dropping a lot of passes. And he's had to show people at the combine, at the pro day, in the run-up to the draft, that was the exception to the rule, all those passes that he dropped at the Senior Bowl. You know, he's more of a natural pass catcher. It'll be interesting to see with Devontae Walker, physically talented, good film. You have the Senior Bowl performance. You also have the issues that he had to move back closer to home. So I'm sure that's something that's going to bring up a lot of questions for NFL scouts.
How about Washington?
Washington, I think the big winner, I was told that Penix threw the ball very well. He's got a great deep arm. He was on the money downfield. McMillan and Polk both caught the ball well. Adunze did nothing really, just sat on the sidelines, sat on his performance from the combine. I was told that Penix did well, the receivers did well. The guy who really stood out was Dominique Campton, the safety, because he ran faster than expected at the combine. He ran in a low 4.5s where people thought he was more of a 4.6 guy. He was timed as fast as 4.39 at the pro day. So a lot of people having the low 4.4s, but there were some 4.39s. He had great shuttle times and three cone times at the combine. Again, go back to what I said about Omar Speets. Testing is really off the charts with this guy. He's beating expectations. And I spoke with somebody yesterday. They think that Dominique Campton right now is a top five safety in the draft. The film is outstanding. I mean, he was more of a downhill guy, but he was smart, kept the action in front of him, didn't have mental lapses. You match the film, the mental acumen you see on the film with the testing numbers, and now you're talking about a guy that, you know, people are talking about sixth round area. He's now in the fourth round area. And with his size and his testing numbers and a draft that is not deep at safety at all, he could go third round.
And Tony, I think the number one safety in this class is wide open. I think it could be any of three or four guys. And one of them is safety Jaden Hicks, who did not do much at the combine, but he showed out at the Washington State Pro Day.
4.47, I was told at the by scouts who were there. I heard some 4.46, or I read some 4.46s. But again, sort of like Dominique Hampton, Jaden Hicks is a bigger guy, almost looks like a small linebacker in center field. The question about him was speed. He doesn't show great speed on film. He runs a 4.46, 4.47. You start wondering if it's the system or you just got to coach him to play to that speed. And I agree with you. Hampton is the guy who probably helped himself at least a full round with those testing numbers. Jaden Hicks is a guy who helped himself at least a half a round and is now in conversation to be the first overall safety selected somewhere, maybe late round two.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think that's when the first safety. I think that I'm not sure if there's a safety picked in the first 40 picks in this draft. I think probably more likely after 45 or 50. I imagine they'll start going off around the same time as the first running back goes off the board, to be totally honest with you. Maybe even the first linebacker, depending on when Cooper or Peyton Wilson goes. Finally, Graham Barton, who is dealing with, I believe it was some kind of upper body injury, Tony, so he couldn't do much at the combine. I'm not sure if that's been detailed exactly what the injury is. Timed well. Give me your thoughts on Graham Barton. And frankly, he looked very lean because he ran with the shirt off. And I'm like, wow, that dude's an offensive lineman. He's a pretty lean dude for a guy that you think is going to be a center or a guard or a tackle.
Right. Well, play tackle at Duke, projects to the inside, either center or guard, 4.95 in the 40. The shuttle times that I had was 4.55 for the short shuttle, 7.32 for the three cone, both outstanding numbers, what you would expect from a lean offensive lineman, right? You expect them to move very well, both in a straight line and laterally. He did it, did a lot of position drills at center, snapped the ball, looked solid. Now, again, it's a projection. You know, here's a guy who primarily played left tackle. You project him on the inside, you project him to center. It's a whole different thing. But I'm told during position drills, he looked outstanding. And, you know, everyone said coming out of it that they believe that he has cemented himself as a late first round pick, depending on where, if Jackson Powers Johnson goes to the Pittsburgh Steelers, the Miami Dolphins are selecting right after them. Miami Dolphins need an interior offensive lineman. Maybe that's a good place for Graham Barton because he showed so well during Pro Day. And he's been highly thought of in the scouting community. I mean, I had heard prior to the combine that there was a lot of chatter about him. A lot of people like him.
Yeah, and you know, we were big fans of him too, Tony, at the beginning of the process. We were talking about him back. He was on our preseason watch list. So, big fan of Graham Barton. I think he'll be a first-round pick. I know the Dallas Cowboys are apparently high on him too, hoping he might get to them at 24. I'm not sure he will, but that's something we'll have to keep an eye on. A really versatile player. Good player, safe pick.
Hey guys, this is Matt Jones, Drew Franklin from the Fade This podcast. We got a great episode coming up. Picks in all the sports, football, basketball, we do them all. But here's a preview of this week's episode. Do you think it's more embarrassing to dye your hair or to have hair plugs?
I don't think either are embarrassing if you're not trying to conceal it and act like you didn't.
Okay. So you think if you just come out and go, I got hair plugs.
Yeah. Like, check out these hair plugs. I mean, don't just walk around, hey, tapping, hey, stranger, I don't want you thinking this is natural. You know, but I mean,
do you have to do that with everyone you meet?
Some people try to act like they, you know what I mean?
Yeah. But I mean, like John Cena got it. You know, when John Cena came back to wrestling, he had a bald spot, and now he doesn't. Mm-hmm. You think he should be required in all interviews to say, look, by the way, I covered up my bald spot?
Yeah, I guess it's weird. I mean, you don't wear a sign or like put a sign in your yard, but.
All right. So what about toupees?
Those are the most obvious.
But let's say you're like Bill Self and you can get it to where it looks good.
His is magical. I don't even know if his is a toupee.
It is.
I think he went into the future and had a procedure we haven't even discovered yet.
And this episode was brought to you in partnership with DraftKings. To hear more, listen and subscribe to Fade This on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts.
All right, let's get to our mock draft, Tony. We're going to go every other pick here. We're going to go odds, evens. So you're going to take odds. I'm going to take evens. We went through the needs the last 2 weeks, so we're not going to focus on needs necessarily when you go through these picks. We'll try to focus more on what we think they're going to do in the players. So let's get this going. Tony, you're on the clock for our next to last draft season mock draft, the Chicago Bears at first overall.
This is easy. I mean, Caleb Williams. This is the one pick that everybody's going to have right, right? I mean, they trade Justin Fields. They got Caleb Williams. He's already ingrained himself in the organization. The word is that the teammates like him. You know, he had Keenan Allen out there at his pro day. I mean, if there's any sort of thing as a take it to the bank pick, it's Caleb Williams from the Chicago Bears with the first selection.
All right, Commanders at number two. I think this is quarterback as well. If I was making the pick, I would select Drake May. But this, based on what I'm hearing out there from people that I trust more than others, they seem to be leading Jaden Daniels here. But I think the Commanders, Tony, have done a good job of holding the cards close to their vest and not really making it obvious who they're picking. But I'll slide Jaden Daniels in here as pick number two.
And he's a good fit for that Cliff Kingsbury system. Third pick, the New England Patriots. I'm going to throw a curveball here. If you read my mock draft at Sports Skeeter, which was released on Monday.
Well, Tony, hold on. But before you make the pick then, would you be willing to trade down from this pick? Sean Payton is going to offer you three first-round picks. His first round this year, his first round next year, and his first round pick in 2026. To move up to number three?
I'm going to say no, only because, you know, I look at it, are you going to get a good offensive tackle? Maybe you get a good pass rusher there. You don't know what the quarterback market is going to be. I think the Patriots would absolutely consider it, and this is what I reported at the Combine, they would absolutely consider trading down. But from what I'm hearing recently, that Elliot Wolf, the de facto GM, is in love with J.J. McCarthy. And they feel that they know quarterbacks, and they love quarterbacks. They know how to develop quarterbacks. So with the third pick of the draft, I'm sure the phone's going to be ringing off the hook, as it will be with the fourth pick of the draft. But I'm going to throw a curveball here based on what I've been hearing last week. And with the third pick of the draft, the New England Patriots are going to take J.J. McCarthy of Michigan. I wouldn't make that. I wouldn't select this player, but that's what I'm hearing.
Love it. All right, now the phone. Now the Arizona Cardinals. Yep. I'm Austin Ford right here, and my phone's ringing, baby.
Yep.
My phone is ringing. I'm getting the Vikings. I'm assuming at 11 with the Vikings. Tony, you're calling me. I got the Broncos at 12. They're calling me. I'm already sitting here with two first round picks on the Arizona Cardinals. I'm already selecting on number four. I'm selecting also at number 27, and I'm running the draft right now with Drake May on the table. Heck. Maybe even the New York Football Giants with Drake May on the board, who's kind of a mini Josh Allen type of prospect. Maybe Brian Daboll. And again, this is not me reporting anything, folks. Do not aggregate me. Maybe the Giants would be interested in moving up a couple spots to grab a quarterback. So let's talk this out, Tony. We can make this like a team pick. What do you think the Cardinals are thinking here at number four? Do you think they're locked in on a guy like Marvin Harrison, or do you think they would be willing to move out of here and select the quarter and forego that top pick and just keep stocking picks?
Yeah, I think that they're absolutely going to enter. I was, prior to last week, I thought going to be Marvin Harrison. They got two first-round picks. And then from what I'm hearing is they're going to entertain offers because they could probably get a real good receiver at number 11. You know, if they're not locked in on Marvin Harrison, and as I've said, in my opinion, Marvin Harrison has made a lot of mistakes in the run-up to the draft. You shouldn't tell people who are going to invest tens of millions of dollars into you won't do certain things, the things that Rome Odunze and Malik Nabers have done. So I think that, you know, if the Giants' offer is strong, they would probably consider that because they could move to six, probably still end up with Marvin Harrison. But I think with Minnesota, with two first-round picks in this year's draft, they can move down to 11. They'll have three first-round picks. And even in a worst-case scenario, at 11, they're looking at either Rome Odunze, Malik Nabers, maybe even Brock Bowers. So they're going to get their playmaking pass catcher at 11 and still come away with another first-round pick. I mean,
okay, so I'm going to put this at you. I'm going to put this at you then. If you're the Cardinals, I'm going to give you a set of offers from three different teams. You tell me which one you think is the best offer that they're most likely to take. Would you take the Giants offering their first overall pick next year and then maybe like a mid-round pick at some point this year and next? Or would you prefer the haul from Minnesota or Denver, which would be three ones? You're dropping further. You're trading out of Odunze and Harrison and Nabers, but you're getting a lot of picks. Where do you think Arizona would lean there? Would they lean just dropping down two and getting less, or they want to get the haul and drop down to 11 or 12?
But the question is, if they move to 11, are you out of the market for any of those three receivers? Obviously, two of them will likely be gone, but there's a very good chance with four quarterbacks going 1, 2, 3, 4, one of those receivers is going to fall to you at 11 And if one of those receivers don't fall to you at 11, you can get Brock Bowers.
Yes, I would feel confident one of those four playmakers would be there. I would feel good about that.
I would say two. I would say possibly Bowers and one of the receivers. I think because football is such a here and now game, it depends. If they are sold on Marvin Harrison, you're making that trade with the Giants. And you will find out why with the Los Angeles Chargers picking up next, if they're sold on him. But again, I think Malik Nabers is more explosive than Marvin Harrison. I don't want to say Roma Dunze is a safer pick, but he's done everything teams have asked of him, you know, in the lead up to the draft. Brock Bowers didn't run because he's got the ankle injury, but still we saw what he did in the SEC. I would make the trade with the Minnesota Vikings, get their two first-round picks, because the way I see the board, the Cardinals will be able to fill defensive needs in the bottom third of round one, those defensive needs being a cornerback and a pass rusher. So rather than get future picks, I'm going to load up on picks this year. I like this year's first round. I have more players with first-round grades this year than I have in the past. Yep. So if Minnesota comes to me who says, we're going to give you the 11th pick and our other pick in the first round for your fourth pick so we can move up and get the quarterback, I'm making that trade if I'm the Arizona Cardinals.
Okay, so that's what we'll do. Minnesota will trade up to four, Tony. So you are now on the clock here for the Vikings at four. Let me see. The Vikings then are going to pick at 11 and 23. So I will let you then – I will take the Vikings pick here, and then you can control the Cardinals.
Yeah, the Cardinals are picking at 11, 23, and 27 with that trade.
All right, so I will let you control the Cardinals. I'll take this Vikings pick then, and obviously the selection then would be Drake May. I think you put him with Kevin O'Connell. I think that is just going to be a really, really nice start to what they're doing here. All right, you're up here, Tony. Quarterbacks 1 through 4, first time that it's ever happened in an NFL draft. Let's go to the Chargers at 5. What are you thinking? Or are you on the phone trying to trade down?
Yeah, the Chargers will definitely look to trade down. There's absolutely no doubt about it. They need draft picks. They got devastated because of the due to salary cap issues. But again, you know, if you remember what I said last week about Michigan Pro Day and how these players, the players from Michigan came across as incredibly intelligent. And I said that the Los Angeles Chargers under Jim Harbaugh, I believe they will win a Super Bowl within 3 years. You're looking at it. You got Marvin Harrison there. You got Malik Nabers there. They do need another receiver, even though they took Quentin Johnston in the first round. But I think Joe Alt is just a natural fit here, unless somebody gives him an incredible offer. And I don't see that happening, considering all the quarterbacks are off the board. So I'm going to go with Joe Alt because they need an offensive tackle. He's a big athletic guy. He's a smart guy. He's basically a Jim Harbaugh type of lineman. And we saw the incredible success that Harbaugh had at Michigan, basically with offensive linemen. I like the playmaker here, but you've got an all-pro quarterback. You better be able to protect him. You know, I know they've got Rashawn Slater at left tackle. I've said all along, I do believe that Joe Alt can be a right tackle. And I think he'd be a very good right tackle in the league.
All right. Joe Alt, number 5. Interesting. Now the Giants go at number. I wonder, by the way, if they're going to slide Slater to the right side or keep him on the left side and put Alt there or how they're going to work that with the two tackles. But certainly bookend tackle is not a bad way to go here for the Chargers. All right. New York Football Giants at number 6. And there was a good faith effort made to trade up to number 4 to try to get Drake May when he dropped there. Didn't work out. The Vikings came with too rich of a package, but Marvin Harrison Jr. is still on the board. I'm going to pull my hamstring, Tony, running up to the phone to call into the league office and call into my guy with the card at the draft to hand in the card that says Marvin Harrison Jr. He's 6'4", but he runs like a guy that's 6 foot. He's a great route runner. He's got good hands. Makes contested catches, gets open, gets separation, has deep speed, checks all the boxes. Maybe not the best run after catch guy if there's one thing that you can do the minor nick on, but No, he's still really good at that, too. So this is an easy one for the Giants at six. Marvin Harrison Jr., and I think everyone in East Rutherford would be quite happy with that selection.
And if Marvin Harrison Jr. gets past the Cardinals at four, you know that the temperature in the Giants war room or Giant draft parties around New York and New Jersey is going to start to rise. They're going to start to hope or pray that Marvin Harrison falls to them, which I think is a possibility.
Here's a question, Tony, real quick. If Harrison's available at five, you talked about the Chargers will be looking to trade down. What team or Eames do you think would be willing to move up for Harrison? Do you think the Bears would think about that from nine to try to pair him with Caleb?
I think that would definitely be a possibility.
How about the Jets? Would the Jets say the hell with it?
I was going to say the Jets would probably consider it. I think the thing is, you know, are you willing to give up extra selections to move up to get Marvin Harrison when you can get Rome Odunze or Malik Nabers? Right. You know, I think that's what you have to consider if that is a situation. I think there may be some calls. I don't think any team is going to offer a huge deal, except for maybe the Jets that are in a win now mode and really aren't worried about 2025, 2026.
Fair enough. All right. You're up at number seven with the Titans, Tony. Sorry for interrupting.
It's okay. I know this guy has kind of fallen off the radar for the longest time now. People seem to be knocking him. One thing I do know is a concern. It's something, if you look at the combine list, he only had 8.5-inch hands. But the Titans signed Calvin Ridley in free agency, so they filled the need at receiver. I'm going to go with Olu Fashanu of Penn State, because I don't think a guy goes from being, you know, a top five pick, you know, for 2 years running to all of a sudden he's a mid-first round choice, you know, 2 weeks after the combine, a week after the combine. I love his skills and pass protection. I love his mobility, his footwork, his movement skills. They hope that they have their quarterback of the future, their franchise quarterback in Will Levis. You got to protect him. And while Fashanu needs to improve his playing strength, needs to improve his run blocking, he is an outstanding pass protector. And I think he's a natural fit to be an early starter at left tackle for the Titans.
All right, I like it. Olu Fashanu, number seven, the Tennessee Falcons at eight. Tony, I think this is where you probably get your first defensive player coming off the board. I just don't think the Falcons will pick a wide receiver, which I think is clearly the best available player right now, whether it's Malik Nabers or Rome Odunze or Brock Bowers, if you want to go that way. But they have all these other high-level wide receivers and pass-catching weapons, so I don't think the Falcons go there. So I'm going to go very chalky here. I'm going to go Dallas Turner. He tested the well of all the edge guys, and I just think he's, you know, he doesn't have the Latu issues with the medicals versus an older guy. He's not quite as athletic. So I'll go Dallas Turner here for the Falcons, though I do wonder if a corner, whether it's Quinion Mitchell or it's Terrion Arnold, could sneak into the top 10 here. Or I think, you know, by pure grade, might be better than Dallas Turner. I just think people value the edge player a little bit more. So I'm going to go Turner to the Falcons.
It makes sense. I know for a fact that they like him. I mean, the question with the Falcons is, if one of the quarterbacks happens to slide down, would they be willing to trade down, you know, say 12 to Denver or Minnesota? They could probably still trade down to Minnesota and end up with Dallas Turner, because I don't see maybe the Bears at nine could take an edge rusher. The Jets aren't going to take an edge rusher, or you never know. But I think the only way that pick isn't Dallas Turner is that the Falcons trade down. The Chicago Bears are up. You're still looking at two really good, outstanding receivers. They did make the trade for Keenan Allen. I'm looking at the tight end board. They signed Gerald Everett, who's a nice number two tight end. You got Cole Kmet there. Really tough to pass up on Brock Bowers. I mean, he is a Chicago Bear type of player. He's a playmaker at the tight end position. You bring in Caleb Williams. You want to protect him. None of the offensive tackles on the board really excite me, but you also want to give him targets to throw the ball to. And Brock Bowers is an outstanding target. You got Keenan Allen, DJ Moore there at receiver, probably Tyler Scott, who's your speed guy. need an underneath tight end that can also stretch the middle of the field. In my opinion, this is a great fit, and this is the way you build your franchise, or at least the offensive side of your franchise moving forward. So the Bears are going to take Brock Bowers.
Wow, over Odunze and Neighbors. I like it. Now the Jets at 10, Tony, and this is a tough decision. Is it wide receiver or offensive tackle? That's what we're looking at, right? And I think the best player by pure grade on the board is going to be wide receiver. I think Aaron Rodgers is going to be involved in these conversations. He already has a Garrett Wilson, who I think is more similar to Neighbors, in my opinion, than probably to Odunze. So I'm going to go, and here's the thing. They have two veteran tackles, but can you trust them to stay healthy? They have Elijah Vera Tucker. You can move out there if you want. Give me your Jets perspective, Tony, before I make this pick. Do you think they're leaning wide receiver or tackle?
I would lean tackle if Fashanu's there. I don't know that any of the offensive tackles are rated high enough on my board right now to take an offensive tackle over Neighbors or Odunze. If Fashanu's there, considering that you got Tyron Smith for a year and you don't even know if you're going to have him for a year, considering when you look at the injury history, I'm taking Fashanu because of the way I have him rated on the board and the fact that, you know, the last time the Jets took an offensive tackle in the top 10 was DeBrickashaw Ferguson, and he was a terrific left tackle for them for 12 years. If Fashanu's there, in my opinion, that's got to be the pick. Otherwise, where you're looking here, I mean, as I said last week, there are only good things can happen to the Jets at 10, and there's a lot of good options for them. They're going to have to go out of their way to make a mistake. From looking at it from a character perspective and from a guy that you can insert in and the safer player, I think that's Rome Odunze. If you're looking for the more explosive wideout, then that's Malik Neighbors.
Yep. I already typed it into my spreadsheet. I'm going to go Rome Odunze. I think he fits better in their wide receiver room, and I think it'll be a guy that Aaron Rodgers, with that size, much like with Devontae Adams, would like to throw the football to. So I'm going to go with Rome Odunze to the Jets at number 10. And Tony, you made the right choice, or we did, with the Cardinals trading down to 11, because look who's staring them right in the face here.
Yeah, but I mean, even if Brock Bowers is there, that's a great pick for him. If the Jets take, in our mock draft, the Jets take Malik Neighbors, you got Rome Odunze. Oh, they're looking at Malik Neighbors, a guy who's explosive, a guy who can separate, a guy who's a big play receiver, a guy who's shown consistent improvement the past two seasons. I mean, it fits, you know, it's like a duck in water. And I've been told, and we were talking about this before the show, there is some concern that Malik Neighbors may have a little trouble in a bigger city. I don't think Arizona is the type of place that's a bigger city. I think it's a good fit for him. Excellent, you know, weather, basically same weather as what he played at in LSU. So I think the Cardinals made that trade. They got their receiver. Some have Malik Neighbors rated higher than Marvin Harrison, if you believe reports. Possibly could be true. If Malik Neighbors keeps his focus on the field and just shows a lot of maturity as a person, this is going to be a great pick for the Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah, I think that's an easy one, too. So 11, first 11 picks, Tony, 10 of them offensive players. The only defensive player in there in Dallas Turner. The other players are the four quarterbacks to lead it off. Williams, Daniels, McCarthy, May, Joe, all five to the Chargers. The Giants fall into Marvin Harrison Jr. Tennessee Titans, Olu Fashanu, Dallas Turner to the Falcons, and Brock Bowers to the Bears, Rome Odunze to the Jets, and Malik Neighbors to the Cardinals in that trade with the Vikings. Let's go. Number 12, the Denver Broncos, Tony. And boy, Sean Payton tried. He offered three first-round picks to go up and get that quarterback. He really made an effort. He just couldn't get it done. And I know they're desperate, Tony. But after rewatching the quarterbacks, I cannot convince myself to pick Michael Penix Jr. or Bo Nix here. I can't do it. I just can't, and I did that in our last mock, right? I think I gave the Raiders Penix, right, or something like that. I just can't believe Sean Payton will watch these guys and say these are first-round quarterbacks. I just don't think he'll get there. I think he's too smart. So I think the Broncos have needs at corner and edge on defense. I think the corner's the better player here, but I know Sean Payton, and I don't know if this was him drafting in New Orleans or if it was the GM drafting in New Orleans. They like to draft big people in the first round. So I'm kind of going back forth here between Quinion Mitchell. They already have Patrick Surtain Jr. there, who's a great corner. Or do I go with one of the edge players? All right, I'm going to go because they – Sean Payton tend to like big power rushers and bigger guys at edge in New Orleans. So I'm going to go Jared Versier to the Denver Broncos at number 12.
That makes complete sense. Fills a need. Outstanding player. I think a bit underrated. The only reason that he's fallen this far is because so many offensive players, specifically the quarterbacks and the receivers, have gone early on. So I am up with the Las Vegas Raiders. I think they can go in a variety of ways. And cornerback's a consideration here. But they really need to shore up their right tackle spot. So I'm going to go with Talese Fuaga of Oregon State. Some teams project Fuaga at guard, but I think he's a big, nasty, power-blocking tackle who moves relatively well that really fits the Raiders system. I think it's a guy that Antonio Pierce, the head coach, is going to love.
Yeah, all right, let's go New Orleans Saints at 14 here, Tony. And again, they like to draft people up front. They like to draft big people. They have a need on the defensive line. They have a need on the offensive line. And the Ryan Ramczyk injury, where he might not be able to play this year, that's a big problem. But I want a guy that gives them some flexibility. So I'm going to go and stay out there in the Pac-12. I'm going to give them Troy Fautanu from Washington that can play offensive tackle. He can play guard if they need it. He's big. He's physical. His tape's awesome. His testing's great. You can't go wrong. I'm going to go. I thought about Amarius Mims here. Because the Saints like big, physical, traitsy, athletic tackles, and I think Mims fits that really well. But I'll go with the safer pick here. I'll go with Troy Fautanu.
I agree with you. I mean, Ramczyk, who knows if he's going to be back? I mean, he said at the end of the season his career was in jeopardy, and you know, it hasn't gotten any better. Penning, the kid that they took from Northern Iowa a couple of years ago, has not panned out for them at left tackle. So, I mean, there's almost a need there for two offensive tackles. I had them taking Fautanu in my mock draft. I wrote about him. I'm told that he was outstanding during Pro Day. He's really a guy who, because of his versatility to play multiple positions on the offensive line, a lot of people like. So I agree. I think that's a good selection. Indianapolis, I think when the Colts are called to the clock, it's going to come down to one or two players. It's going to be either Terrion Arnold or Quinyon Mitchell. Terrion Arnold, I like it because, you know, he can play a lot of nickel. But Quinyon Mitchell, in my opinion, has done everything right in the pre-draft process. People say, well, he comes from the MAC. They don't have great talent there. As we saw, he went to the Senior Bowl and was dominant for 3 days. You interviewed him. He said he wanted to set world records at the combine. Maybe he didn't set world records, but he tested incredibly well, showed the ability, you know, to play press coverage at the Senior Bowl and do it very well. So in my opinion, it's going to be one of the two cornerbacks. I look at Mitchell, I like the size and speed, and I like the fact that he's done so well in press coverage at the Senior Bowl. I'm taking the Colts take Quinyon Mitchell.
That's who I had too. And remember, they just re-signed Kenny Moore to play the slot for them. So I don't think the Arnold slot versatility is as important to them, Tony. So I'm with you. I think Mitchell all the way. All right, Seahawks at 16. John Schneider likes to pick defensive linemen. They need defensive linemen. I know some people have talked about offensive line here, but I think they have their two young offensive tackles. I think they're good with those guys. I'm not willing to force something here. There's one good edge rusher left, and I think they want to kind of get that last top edge rusher. I'm going to go Leetu Latu here to the Seahawks at number 16.
I have them taking an edge rusher. As we all know, I have a man crush, if you will, on Chop Robinson. I think with Latu, it's going to come down to the medicals. But I do agree that it's going to be an edge rusher.
You know, I wonder, the interesting thing with Seattle, Tony, and this, I'm just thinking about this now. I wonder if they have any relationship with the same doctors that Washington University uses. They're both being in the Pacific Northwest. So maybe they might have some insight into the Latu injury that maybe some other teams might not.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Anyway, go ahead.
There you go. Jacksonville Jaguars are on the clock. They franchise Josh Allen in the postseason. They signed Gabe Davis. I really want to put a receiver here. I really want to put Ryan Thomas of LSU here. But I'm looking at that offensive line. Cam Robinson has got 1 year left on the deal. They got Anton Harrison playing right tackle when he is a natural left tackle. So I'm going to go with Amarius Mims because I think you've got to fortify that offensive line. You've got Trevor Lawrence there. He's your quarterback of the future. What's going to happen with Cam Robinson after this year? Is he going to be able to stay healthy throughout the full season? I think Amarius Mims does a couple of things. It gives them a real good, strong pass blocking, run blocking right tackle. And then you can take Anton Harrison and move him back to his natural spot at left tackle. This is a pick as much for the future as it is for right now.
No, I think that's a good pick. I had offensive tackle, wide receiver, and then corner as well as kind of my three choices there for them. And I think picking the offensive tackle, even though they seem to be okay now, I think trying to protect Trevor Lawrence long term, we've seen that's been a problem for them. So I think it is a good idea for them to try to shore up that pass protection. Speaking of shoring up pass protection, Tony, the Cincinnati Bengals at number 18, they lose Jonah Williams. They have Orlando Brown on the left side, but who's the starting right tackle? I don't feel good about their options. And J.C. Latham, a plug-and-play right tackle, is sitting on the board. I think this is an easy one for me, J.C. Latham to the Bengals.
Absolutely. I mean, it'll be interesting to see where Latham goes in comparison to Marius Mims, even in comparison to Waga, because he is a natural right tackle. We talked about him early on with the size, but I think this is a perfect fit. Los Angeles Rams are up. Aaron Donald basically announced his retirement, which I think caught some people by surprise. You look at their defensive line. Kobe Turner last year, third-round pick, terrific player. Deshaun Johnson from Toledo, a good story, seventh-round pick. I don't know about Johnson being a starter moving forward, so I'm going to go with Byron Murphy of Texas. I know he's a little bit smaller, but he's strong. He's athletic. They play a 3-4, but they play their pass rushers, their outside linebackers, up on the line of scrimmage. So it's almost a one-gap sort of 3-4 system, which I think Byron Murphy would be perfect in. I think with losing Aaron Donald, you got to basically fill in that piece. I don't know that you can go with Johnson as your starter throughout the season. So the Rams take Byron Murphy.
I would consider corner there too, Tony, because Terry and Arnold's still there, and I think he's a really good value here. But I think this is right where Byron Murphy's going to get picked. So I think Rams are going to pick a defensive player. It's just a matter of what defensive player it's going to be, and I think they get really good value here with Murphy. All right, Steelers are number 20, Tony. They have issues on the offensive line, offensive tackle, interior offensive line as well. I think they could use another receiver to replace Deontay Johnson, but the Steelers just pick great wide receivers in the second round. They don't need to pick one in the first round. They'll just wait to the second round, and they'll be fine. So I'm going to push the wide receiver aside. I'm going to look at the offensive lineman here, and I think they're going to want someone that gives them some versatility and can move around a little bit. So I thought about Jackson Powers Johnson here, but I'm going to go a guy you mentioned earlier in the program who had a great pro day. I'm going to give him Graham Barnett at Duke. Again, blue collar, tough player. I think he'll fit really well in Pittsburgh with what they like to do. So I'm going to give the Steelers Graham Barnett at Duke. And he can slide in at tackle if they want to move Broderick Jones over to left tackle and put him at right. They can do whatever they want with him. It gives them options. So I'm going to give them Graham Barnett, Steelers at 20.
Well, two things. You proved earlier what I said is that his pro day basically cemented Graham Barton as a first-round pick. And I think that Miami Dolphin fans are jumping for joy because the guy that you passed on, Jackson Powers Johnson, I think is the guy that really fills a need for them because they could use help at guard. They could use help at center. Jackson Powers Johnson can play both positions. Granted, he can't do it at the same time. But as we saw at the Senior Bowl, the one day that he played and he was injured, he's just a tough, nasty guy. He's got a personality that, may rub some people the wrong way sometimes. I don't care. I mean, you watch the film. He was good in 2022 at guard. He was outstanding in 2023 at center. Was terrific that one day of Senior Bowl practice when he was injured. And we see guys who basically bail on the Senior Bowl because they're injured. This guy played while injured, like the tight end from Oregon State a year ago. So I think Miami Dolphins, this checks so many boxes. Jackson Powers Johnson.
All right, Eagles at 22, and Terry and Arnold still sitting there. Woo! This is a run to the podium. The Eagles need young cornerbacks to eventually replace James Bradbury and Darius Slay. I know they don't generally pick cornerbacks early. They like to pick big people, whether it's offensive linemen or defensive linemen. But eventually, you have to address that cornerback position, Tony. And I think Terrion Arnold's the easy pick here for the Eagles at 22.
It'd be interesting because Tyler Guyton's still there. I mean, could they take Tyler Guyton? I mean, that is a Howie Roseman type of pick, Tyler Guyton.
Yeah, Lane Johnson's older, right? They're eventually going to have to replace him at right tackle.
And when you look at Tyler Guyton, athletic, great upside, maybe a personality where he needs a boot in the rear end, that is the type of guy that that Howie Roseman likes. But still, I mean, they do need corners, so Terrion Arnold is an outstanding pick. The Arizona Cardinals are on the clock. Jonah Williams, you know, Tyler Guyton's there, but they signed Jonah Williams. They got Paris Johnson. Cornerback is a need. You broke our hearts. I mean, we hit a home run with Malik Nabers with that first pick. We would have liked a cornerback here. I think any cornerback is a slight reach. They need pass rushers. They select Chop Robinson, my guy. I think he's going to do a great job there. He's explosive. He's a great edge rusher. You can line him up in a three-point stance. You can stand him up over tackle. I sound redundant saying these things about Chop Robinson. But since we couldn't get our cornerback here, the Cardinals, we're going to go with the pass rusher, and they take Chop Robinson.
No, I like that pick. Dallas Cowboys at 24, Tony. They were throwing pens when Graham Barnes and Jackson Powers Johnson went off the board because they need a starting center, and they were ready to just plug one of those guys right in there and go off and start their season. And that didn't work out. Now it is a fairly deep center class. You can get guys like Bo Limmer later. You can get guys like Taylor Bartolini later or Zach Frazier if you trade up in the second round. So they have other options there. But you, guy, you mentioned for the Eagles at 22 is still sitting there for the Cowboys at 24. And Tyron Smith going to the Jets. They can move Tyler Smith out to left tackle if they want, or they can leave him at left guard. And if they draft Tyler Guyton, they might be able to do just that. So they like to draft big, athletic, rangy tackles, and the Cowboys have done a good job of training those offensive linemen up and turning them into good players. So I think they're going to draft Tyler Guyton, 24th overall, from Oklahoma. And again, I think they like drafting those Texas-Oklahoma guys too. So I think Guyton fits into that realm of possibilities for the Cowboys at 24.
Big-bodied guy. Like I said, just needs a boot in the rear end. And, you know, with some of those veterans on there, you hope that he'll be able to do that. The Green Bay Packers are on the clock. The Packers, they can use a tackle. They can use a cornerback. They can use a safety. As we talked about, there's no safety available. I'm going to go with Kool-Aid McKistry. I know a lot of people are all over the board on him. I talked to somebody who thinks it's, you know, he's more of a late first-round pick. Well, we're moving into the late part of round one. I love his I love his size. I love his feistiness. Ran well at pro day, even though he's got the foot issue. Now the foot issue will determine where he goes. If some teams think it's a medical issue, and you know he may not be able to play for a while, obviously McKistry's going to fall. But I think this is a good fit for a team that needs a cornerback.
I like it. I think Tampa, they would pick an edge player here, Tony, if one was available. But I think we're all out of first-round edge players. Maybe Darius Robinson. I think it's a little bit early for him. So I'm going to go Nate Wiggins here. They need a corner. They traded Carlton Davis. They need a corner that can go in there. You know they like to play man-to-man defense there. So I think put him in there. They like to blitz, put guys on islands. I think Nate Wiggins can cover on an island. So I'm going to give Wiggins to the Bucs at 26.
Makes a lot of sense, and that would have been the guy that I would have selected for the Arizona Cardinals. You broke my heart twice by taking Terrion Arnold at Philadelphia and now taking Nate Wiggins.
Oh, I did, huh?
We got our receiver. We got our edge rusher. I mean, they still need a cornerback. Maybe they could use some help on the interior defensive line. They did sign a bunch of players there in the offseason. I am going to go with,
how about Cooper DeJean, Tony? He's still around.
There you go. I'm going to go with Cooper DeJean. I'm not as high on DeJean as other people are, but he's a big, strong, athletic guy. He's working out on April 8th. The injury has prevented him from working out at the pro day. The injury prevented him from working out the combine. I think even in a worst-case scenario, Arizona, you can stick him inside at at safety. I would have selected Zerhan Newton at this point in time, but they put a lot of free agent money into that defensive line in the offseason of the past month. So I'm going to go with Cooper DeJean. Hopefully Philly need a cornerback.
All right, Bills at 28, Tony, and I think they could really use a second corner, but they're wiped out. They could go defensive line here. I think Johnny Newton could be an option here, but they have Ed Oliver there, so I'm not sure that's where they would go. So I'm going to go with what I would consider a luxury pick, Tony. You know, they lost Gabe Davis in free agency. They have Stephon Diggs, who's a really good mover, but they don't have that big-bodied, top-speed, deep threat. Well, you know who's a big-bodied, top-speed, deep threat? The fourth wide receiver in this draft class that has not been taken yet. So Brian Thomas Jr. out of LSU to the Bears at 28.
That makes perfect sense. I mean, he's a faster version of Gabe Davis. I think he's being undervalued. I think the fact that, you know, he played by Malik Nabers reduced his opportunities. He's coming off a great season. I absolutely love Brian Thomas. It would not surprise me if 2 or 3 years down the road in the right situation, like with a Josh Allen, he turns into one of the best receivers or is as good as the best receivers in this draft. The Detroit Lions are on the board, and Detroit did an outstanding job in free agency, filling many of their needs on the offensive line, filling their needs at cornerback, filling their needs on the defensive line. You know, I'm looking at the board right now. Jordan Morgan, not really, because they've got a good offensive line. I'm going to go with the Donnie Mitchell of Texas here, because I think the more receivers that you give Jared Goff, the more weapons, the more lethal you make them. Obviously, they've got a decent running game. You're not going to draft a running back this early. But I think, you know, with Jameson Williams there and Amon St. Brown, Mitchell brings the size and the consistency. He's just got to learn to play with it every single down. Got to learn to play the way he did as a freshman at Georgia. I think this is not really a luxury pick, but I think that the Lions did such an outstanding job in free agency, they can go in this direction.
Yeah, I agree. And I thought about picking Mitchell ahead of Thomas, but I thought Thomas was a better fit with the Bills there. So that's where I went in that direction. I have heard that there are some concerns about how much longer Frank Ragnow is going to play. He was kind of held together with duct tape at the end of last year. So I don't know, maybe a Zach Frazier type could be a possibility here, but he would have to sit a year before he would go in and play. So I'm with you. I think Mitchell is a good pick. Ravens at 30, Tony. Well, they lost their starting right tackle, their starting guard. And you know who's a starting right tackle or guard in this draft that hasn't been picked yet and is maybe the top player left on my board overall? That's Jordan Morgan out of Arizona. I think this is an easy pick. You slide him in. You could play him at guard. You could play him at tackle. I'm all about it. Jordan Morgan to the Ravens at 30.
And I've been told that the Ravens do believe that Jordan Morgan can play right tackle. I mean, I have to question it based on what we saw at the Senior Bowl, but he's athletic. He's got some growth potential, and he's an athletic guy who moves well. San Francisco 49ers are on the board. They lost a lot of players on that interior defensive line this year. They signed Malik Collins. It's basically a Band-Aid type of signing for a year. I'm going to go with a guy who people have seemingly forgotten about in Zerhan Newton. I mean, he's a guy who's a high-energy player. He played hard all year at Illinois, even when the outcome of the game was known and his team was losing. He's had some injuries, which has prevented him from working out in the lead-up to the draft. But I think this is a good fit with an outstanding player. Really, somebody in Newton that a lot of us thought early in the process, last October, could be a top 15 pick. He falls all the way to 31 for the San Francisco 49ers. They fill a need with an outstanding player.
All right, and then the Chiefs at 32, Tony. I think they could use a corner to replace L'Jarius Sneed, but they've done a good job of drafting corners later and picking those guys up, and I really think all the top corners are wiped out at this point. I think it's a little too early for a Kamari Lassiter or a TJ Tampa. Melton from Syracuse, Melton. From Rutgers, Max Melton. Thank you, his brother. I think it's a little too early for that next group. And Tony, look, they need an offensive tackle. They really do. Sadly, I killed myself by picking Jordan Morgan at 30, and no one else is left really that I love here. So I'm going to do a little bit of a reach for my taste, but I love the player. I love his tape. I think he has a lot of upside. And he's played both the right and the left side, which I think will help the Chiefs in terms of where they're at. I'm going to go Kingsley Suamataya out of BYU. I think there's a fairly large drop-off once you get past him to the Patrick Paul Rosengarten tier of offensive tackles. And the Chiefs don't pick again for 32 picks, obviously. So I'm going to go Kingsley Suamataya with that final first-round pick to the Kansas City Chiefs.
On film, this makes all the sense in the world. You could say that Suamataya probably should go, you know, could legitimately go 6 to 7 picks earlier. There's some questions about maturity, some other issues with him. But, you know, if he focuses on football and he makes football a priority, this could be a knockout pick for the Chiefs. But you never know with the Chiefs. I mean, they took the kid from Kansas State last year who was a second-round pick at the end of the first round. So I would say that, and let me also tell you that I'm told that Suamataya made an official visit to see the Chiefs, and it went incredibly well, which leads me to believe, you know, say that, yeah, he's it's got to be in play. But you never know with the Chiefs. They took the kid from Kansas State at the end of the first round in 2023. I don't think that would prevent them from taking a Patrick Paul this early, because that's the way they roll. If they think that Paul is, you know, has got more upside. Obviously, Xavier Worthy, you know, another playmaker, a field stretcher. But I would agree. On when you look at the film, when you look at the player himself, when you look at the potential value, this makes the most, Suamataya makes the most sense.
And I think they have a much better chance of getting a good wide receiver at the end of round two and then a corner and three than they do getting a tackle that late. So real quick summary here, Tony. I'm not going to go through all the picks, but I will summarize it briefly. So we have four quarterbacks, the first four picks in the draft, but no quarterbacks after that. So no Penix or Bo Nix. I wonder in real life if a team would try to trade into the first round to get one of those guys, but it didn't happen here. So four quarterbacks, first four picks, no quarterbacks after that. I'm going to count the offensive linemen. People love counting on podcasts. It's great content. So you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 offensive linemen of the first 32 picks. So more than a third of the first round pick, Tony, offensive lineman. In terms of number of defensive players, let's see. You have Newton 1, DeJean, Wiggins 3, McKinstry 4, Robinson 5, Arnold 6, Murphy 7, Latu 8, Burse 9, Turner 10. Did I count Mitchell there?
Did you put Chop Robinson in there?
Yeah, it's either 10 or 11 defensive players. So only more, almost as many or more offensive linemen than we had defensive players. And I think that's how this first line, this is how this first round is going to go.
I mean, it makes sense. We've been talking about, you know, the rich crop of offensive tackles, 8 offensive tackles potentially going in round 1. I think Graham Barton has added that extra offensive lineman into the first round with his performance at Pro Day, and he checked off a lot of boxes. So it makes an incredible amount of sense. Listen, you got 4 quarterbacks going with the first 4 selections. You better protect those quarterbacks, or you better protect the quarterback that you have, you know, playing behind center. So it just makes sense that these teams, you know, are going to have to draft offensive linemen. You know, somebody, there aren't too many starting left tackles in the league that weren't first round picks. So that's why I believe, as we've talked about all along, you're going to see a ton of offensive tackles go in the round 1. That's why we had it in our mock draft.
Yeah, 11 defensive guys and 11 offensive tackles. We had 5 wide receivers go with the tight end and the quarterbacks. No safeties, no running backs, right. No linebackers.
And that's the way the board shapes up. Now, you know, the linebackers, what is a linebacker? You know, is Latu a linebacker? He's an edge rusher that can also play up the line of scrimmage. Same with Chop Robinson.
Right.
It's just a transformation of that position. But, you know, as we talked about at the start of the show, as we talked about for weeks now, your first running back and safeties aren't going to come off the board until the earliest, the bottom half of round 2. So any running back or any safety within the first 45 selections is going to be a reach.
Tony, I think this mock draft was really realistic, to be honest with you. There were some surprises. Like, I'm sure nobody thought Neighbors and Odunze would get to 10 and 11, but I understand how it's possible with the way this went down. So I think it's a realistic mock draft, but it's also slightly different than ones we've seen out there. I think this was a good exercise. I enjoyed this. We'll have one more of these the week of the draft.
Adunze or Neighbors will get to 10 or 11 if that fourth quarterback, J.J. McCarthy, moves into the top eight. If that happens, Bowers, Neighbors, Adunze, not all of them, but two of the three of them, I believe, will be available picks 10 or 11, unless somehow somebody offers the Falcons a ton of draft picks to move up and get one of the pass catchers.
Tony, always a pleasure. We'll be back with our top 10 lists on offense next week, and we'll rock and roll. Appreciate the time as always, my friend.
Thanks, John.
Draft season is underway. We're in the sprint, 3 weeks to go. This show was brought to you by Moody's, our proud sponsor. We appreciate them sponsoring our podcast, Decode Risk, Unlock Opportunity, Moody's. Make sure you visit Moody's.com to learn more. For Tony Pauline from SportsKita, I am John Schmuck from the New York Football Giants. Of course, you can find Draft Season on your favorite podcast platform. Subscribe, or you can find it on the Giants mobile app or Giants.com/podcast. You can find our other podcasts like Big Blue Kickoff Live and the Giants Huddle, where we've been doing a lot of draft interviews, folks. The Giants Huddle podcast, it might be a Giants podcast, but we're doing all draft stuff this month. We had some great interviews. Make sure you go check that out if you're into that sort of thing. For Tony Pauline, I'm John Schmuck. We will see you next time, everybody.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.